right here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, Ram Radio, the webcast. In the Lucy Coleman studio, Reformation Apologetic Ministry, which is the biblical alternative. This is October the 31st. It is Wednesday, Halloween Day. It's a holiday here, and it's not really a holiday, kind of like a celebration of the goons and the goblins and things like that. Well, I'm telling you, I'm up early this morning trying to deal with this situation in the most adequate way that I possibly can. Thank you, Joe and Eddie, as my background, the old man. I saw the old man, yes. Yeah, he had walnuts and lemons. Yeah, I bet he did. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. I hope that my friends back east are faring very well. I know that it's very difficult in the storm, but I know that he has helped you weather every storm. I'm telling you, I've had challenges and challenges and challenges in my life. And one of the greatest challenges that I've had here recently was the challenge of attempting to get people to see. This Sandra, Susan, Sally, whatever they want to call this weather thing. No. Why don't we call this thing what it really is? God. Now, I don't know whether this was humanly induced or not. I doubt it, because something that big and something that furious, if man can put something like that together, we have been playing God very, very well. I don't think that we would have basically put ourselves out of commission. That's like orchestrating an earthquake or something. Huge storm, like something has never hit the East Coast like that before. The neighborhood that was burnt out, I was in class last night in ethics, and before the class started, of course, I was just looking at some YouTube clips, and it was showing the various clips that they had, and just devastation on a level that it looks like, as some people said in Jersey, a war zone, a literal war zone. Electricity's out, will be out for a while. Manhattan is basically shut down. I've been to Manhattan in New York a couple of times. Love that city. I love going there. It is a world-class city. I don't think all the power's out in Manhattan, but you got to stay out of those subways. Hey, think about that. No subways working in New York. It had one guy go down there and with the camera taken. I mean, how are you going to get it out of there? Because the subway is underground, so when all the water comes in, it goes underground. First thing that you got to do is pump that sucker out. Get it out of there. So if you're working for Water Works or something, you got some overtime coming up if you live in New York. But let's attribute it to whom the situation is due. God did that. And I mentioned it to one of the students in the classroom that God was behind it, and he kind of chuckled, oh yeah, like that. But I got to share something with you that I shared with my class last night. It's a letter that I got. Let me grab it here. I think it's in this thing here. Because I got, you know, I was supposed to leave town tonight and go and spend the weekend at a couple's house, but I don't think I can go, because I got papers to grade, I got things to do, and I got to get it done. So I'm going to have to call them and tell them that the road trip is off. I mean, it would have been great. I was supposed to leave right after I got out of school today. I got a letter, and this person wrote me and said, I don't usually forward this sort of thing, but it was sent to me by a very respectful physician and minister. Take it for what you will. I guess we'll know on November the 6th. Now, you know what November the 6th is. November the 6th is voting day in this country. But I want you to listen to this note, which was posted on October the 25th, 2012, PDT. And it's called, "There Will Be No Election." I found this to be extraordinary, but I'll read it to you. And you know PJ, he is not, and I put emphasis on this, I am not a sensationalist. I got a call from our ministry team today, and they said that an elderly lady, one of the group from Alabama, where they minister, had a very mysterious encounter. On Saturday, the 20th of October, she was on the freeway and saw a man on the side of the road who looked kind of out of place. No car around. She said that the Lord told her to pick him up. And she said she felt that it must have been a mistake that the Lord wouldn't tell her to do that, and kept going for a couple of miles until he said it again. And I understand how when the Lord is speaking to you, because when the Lord is telling you to do something and you know that it's him talking to you, and this and trust it. This is from a man that doesn't hear voices, because I don't. But I know when God is telling me to do something, just like when I told him to quit pastoring and work on my website and work on those important things, get my life in order. Okay? When the Lord speaks to me, I do what he tells me to do. When he told me, get your house in order, you don't need all that money, learn how to live loose, eat less food. And people, I'm telling you, I am eating less and less and less. I do not eat the way I used to eat. And I am basically surviving on basically one meal a day and a lot of liquids and drinking and eating healthy foods. She said that she went back and stopped and opened the back door, and she told him that if he wanted to rob her or to murder her, that she had nothing. And he said, "No, ma'am, I have no intentions of that." So he got in and was quiet. So she asked where he was about to go, and he answered, "Two more exits." Now she's on a highway. So she asked him what he thought about the elections and Obama, and he said, "There will be no election." She said, "What?" He said it again and again, that there was going to be two major things happen in the United States, and there would be no election. Well, the first major thing was that storm. Okay? And then she was startled by this, and said, "What?" again. And when she looked into the rearview mirror, he was gone. Now she's driving in the car and he's gone. She pulled over and was very shaken when a state trooper pulled up and asked if she was okay. She told him yes. And he said, "Are you sure?" And the elderly lady again answered, "Yes." He started to walk away, but turned around and said, "You are kind of pale. Are you sure you're okay?" She said, "If I told you what just happened, you wouldn't believe me." The state trooper replied, "Try me." So she told him. When she was finished telling him about her encounter, he said, "Ma'am, you're the third one to have had this happen in the past 2 weeks. And then at the bottom of it, it says, "Sounds like the Lord is trying to tell us something." Well, he is. And I think that if we are honest about looking at some of the things that I've been talking about, and I've been talking about a heck of a lot of things over the years and months, especially on my website. And I've been trying to share with you that we are living in perilous times. I have cut down my quoting of Bible verses, because if you don't know me by now, then you never will know me. Bible verses are very important, because Bible verses equips the believer to function. Excuse me. To function. And I'm trying to get one of these items off of my computer screen here, but it's not working, so I'm hoping that everything would turn out all right. But if we don't believe our Bible as we read the Bible every day, well, how in the world are we going to hear something when it's coming directly from God, when God is trying to communicate something to us in a very real way? Well, the first catastrophe has happened. That's why I have this picture of a New York street up on my website. When you think about that city and everything that hit it, and not only that city, but the East Coast, you know that God has his hand on America in a very, very real way. There are many, many things in this society today that has taken place in the past 20 or 30 years that are so far-fetched, that are so anti-moral, that just to begin to share it with you, this free access of information, the inability of our young people to really at any good time make their minds up about simple things, not even to be able to answer ethical questions that they will be confronted with for the rest of their lives. I witness this almost every day in the classroom as I'm asking questions of our younger adults. How are you going to address these situations when you are confronted by them? And, you know, I don't know why these people just keep doing this to me. how these young people are going to address these situations in an appropriate way. There's one way to address it, and I think that the way to address it and to own up to it is to admit that we've turned our backs on God altogether. I mean, I have on my website, there's something else here, since I'm on the website on another computer. As you scroll down my webpage, you will see a letter that was sent to me by a good friend of mine, Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson has been in my studio a number of times, a very good, reliable source when it comes to this stuff on MacArthurism and him dealing in the government. I admonish you really to tap into that first web connection that he has there and to read that and to pay very close attention to it and answer the question that Bob presents to you. And this is John MacArthur of the Grace Community Church. What in the heck is he doing dealing with these kind of governmental agencies? Why? Why? You know, the Bible says very plain that we are to come out from amongst them and to be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then, he says, I'll receive you. You know how many years I've been telling people that? You know, they just stopped talking with me. They just wrote me off as a Looney Tune. Oh, John is crazy. John is, no, I'm not gonna stay with something that's rotten. Just like I'm sure that you would not stay with me if you discovered that I was rotten. And I'm not talking about my disposition, attitude, and all that kind of thing, because a lot of you think that I'm that. I'm really not that. I love you, and I'm trying to tell you. Do your Christianity in the solo lane. Do it alone. Do it without listening to group. Do it by analyzing everything that's happening. Our country is in dire straits. This election coming up on the 6th can cause something horrible. I have been talking with people, white people, and I don't talk with on the fringe black people because they frighten me. I'm serious. On the fringe black people, when they talk revolution and stuff like that, that frightens me, because some of these folk have nothing to lose. They would destroy everything, even their own infrastructure, to make a point. One of the scenes I was looking at, I don't know whether it was the Jersey coast or the New York coast or what, the weather front had decimated the entire community. They went from house to house, and they were taking videos of it. And what was extraordinary, windows were blown out, water had gone in there and flooded a lot of things. There was no looting, no rioting, no mayhem, no children running up and down the street cursing and swearing and busting out windows and ripping off stuff, because it took place in a reasonable neighborhood where reasonable people live. Now, you watch that same thing happen in our particular infrastructure and see what happens. It would be a different situation altogether. White people, just like certain black people and other people, are arming up. They are arming up. They've already armed up. They're buying guns because, as a matter of fact, one person told me, one more catastrophic event in this country and the government's going to declare martial law. I asked him the ethics class last night, did they think that it was right for President Obama to stop his campaign and to concentrate on storm efforts? And a couple of students said, well, Mr. Coleman, he is a president of the United States. You expect him to do that? No. I asked the same question. Would it have been right for Romney to stop his campaigns and to get behind Barack and said, I want to work with the president to do all I can and to tell all my friends in the 1% to add some money to the pot and do that? The students didn't answer. It's like they've already, and I'm just saying this, and this is what I pick up, it's like the students have already been brainwashed to put Obama in to the degree that they don't care what Romney says or does. To me, that is dangerous. And then you got the Christians that won't vote for Romney and won't vote for anybody because Romney is a Mormon, which is silly. Doesn't make any sense. He's an American. There's no controversy where he was born. We got into a discussion in the ethics class last night. They have on somewhere on World Star Hip Hop. I was watching it yesterday, and it was in Phoenix, Arizona. The police was chasing this white van. The white van runs the intersection. You've probably seen the YouTube clip of it. Runs the intersection, runs into a couple of cars. The van turns over, and I counted the number of people that crawled out of it. It looks like a little less than a minivan. Maybe it was it wasn't one of those long stretch vans, but 23 people came out of that vehicle. 23 came out running. And we were trying to answer the question, what's wrong with that? And when I, at the end of it, I said, what was Arizona before it became the United States? Of course, it was Mexico. Most of the regions thereof. And so, be that as it may, one student told me, all governments, all countries have always done that. That's right. And America's going through her shift now. S-H-I-F-T. I didn't say S-H. I said shift. She's shifting. She is going through a metamorphosis. I want to tell you one thing. My message has been love preached constantly for so many months. I mean love, because love is going to be the only thing that sustains us. If this letter was not a hoax and was sent to me, and who sent it to me? Let me see. Who sent it to me? It says healinginfirmities@gmail.com. Healing.infirmities. I don't know who that is. I don't know how they got my mail, but it came to me. and maybe they just knew that I would put it on a webcast. I don't know how true it is, but I do believe this, that because I believe that God prophetically speaks to us, because God is not dead. God is still alive. And I'm telling you that there has been a strong delusion put on this country. At times I feel like a strong delusion has encompassed me, just swept over me. And this strong delusion is of such strength and power that it for hours holds one captive. Years ago, I was not like this. But since I'm an American and I'm caught up into this materialistic wave, it happens. I really have to fight to come against these kinds of feelings and thoughts and objectives, because as a Christian, I have a higher objective to aim at. If there is a God and He is the authority in my life, and I will never stop looking to God as that authority ever. He will always be my comforter, the one that I humbly bow to, that I submit myself to. As I was telling my philosophy of religion class, just like a Muslim, I bow down to God and ask Him to have mercy on my soul every day. If I do not physically bow, I am bowing in the spirit. And I am aware that God is in control of this world. Sandy is not a woman. Sandy is God. God was in the midst of that storm, is in the midst of every storm. There's a song that we used to sing in the church. He does something here and He rides on every storm. God is riding in every storm. And when that storm came and hit, and those people that died, I'm very sympathetic, sorrowful for their families. I am sorry that they couldn't get out when the fire swept through. I feel tremendously sad for the people that lost everything in their homes. Just burn up like a bomb hit the place. Never in that part of the country would you expect something like that to happen. Ever. But it did. It did. And I'm telling you, as a believer, I know a lot of people are in hotels this morning. They're sad. They're crying. Their family has sent money and they've, in some kind of way, moved to another state to get out of there. Some are on the way to California. Some, because they've lost everything. And they have children out here. And the children are saying, "Mom, come on out here, hon. Come on, you can stay with me. It's safe out here." That's a catastrophe on the East Coast. I don't know what's going to happen over here. Someone intimated to me yesterday, probably a massive earthquake. If it does, it's going to take... Hey, if my website is shut down, that's because L.A. was hit by it, and I'm done. If you have my cell phone number, hey, call me. If I answer, good. If the phone lines are out, let it be said, let it be done. I'm going to be somewhere trying to get to my daughter that's here and my grandchildren in some kind of way. Because you know you want to be with family when the end comes like that. And I'm just talking like this because I'm a realist. I don't believe in this, you know, "Oh, God wouldn't let anything happen to us. Oh, what? You sound just like Israel back in the day. When God told Israel to repent and Israel wouldn't repent, what did God do? He let other nations come in, speaking a foreign language, bring heat on them, smoke on them. Now what God is doing is God says, "Oh, America, you're isolated. You're safe, right? Maybe they can't send no missiles over here, but I got something that's worse than a missile. I got something that's going to be moving real slow. You're going to see it moving. Hey, you know that ship was out in the Atlantic, right? The Bounty." Have they found the captain of the ship yet? People, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When God moves, can't nobody stop it. You can get mad at PJ all you want to. Go ahead and get mad. I mean, you know, I've lost loved ones. I know how it is. I know how you feel when you lose, my house is tore up, everything is hate, and God's going to tear you up. And he'll do it for the praise of his glory. And if you hate him going into Hades, you're going to remember that hatred that you have for him. Now me, I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him. You know what the Job said? Job told his ignorant friends, he said, if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. Job also said in that wonderful book, he said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Why don't we want to hear that verse? I tell you why, because we're utilitarians here. We believe in utility. Happiness is the highest good. If a thing doesn't produce happiness, I was just talking about it in ethics last night. If a thing doesn't produce happiness, we are apt not to go that way. God is not concerned about utility. That was Jeremy Bentham and Stuart Mills and all those other guys. God's not concerned about those 17th century philosophers who come up with this crapola. God says, I am God and I change not. You will worship me. You will honor me. You will extol me. You will exonerate me. You won't. Oh, man, ain't nothing. You know what? It was on the news. A 91-year-old woman in Jersey. Everything whacked out. She said that she'd been in Jersey for 91 years in that house, in that neighborhood, all burnt up, gone. She said in her life, she has never, ever seen anything like that. God will bring something in front of you that you've never seen. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. That was an act of God, not no act of, you can call it Mother Nature all you want. No, that was Father God. I extol him, I exonerate him, I'm going to give props to whom props are due. If you have a preacher and you go to church somewhere in this country on Sunday, you expect that boogaboo to sound like me. And if you don't sound like me, you in a fake, can I say it? You are in a fake ass church. I'm just telling you, just like that, that's how stinking it is. If he doesn't tell you that Jehovah Elohim Yahweh did that. I know you don't like my language. You think I'm vulgar. I know, because you want to talk that evangelical crapola. God did that. God will wipe your mom out, your daddy out, your house, your income, your country, everything. He will not allow us, including me, to get away without extolling him. And I know some people, like that old thing that I told you about, the businessman was on a little Lear jet flying from one city to the next to make a business of a lifetime. The pilot radioed and said, we having problems and the jet is falling. And the man looked out the window and saw the jet coming down. He was talking on his business tape recorder and he got to cussing God, because they found the tape recorder after the plane crashed. All of them was killed. And he said, no, God, not me now, not now, not me. And then he got to cussing God. Cursed him. And then all you heard was a whack. That's when the plane hit the ground. His last words coming out of his mouth that he was cursing and swearing at God. Listen, citizen, don't you find yourself in that. Because you may be a smart person that's, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in things like that. I'm smarter than that. I think immaturish people believe in God. I don't follow that kind of nonsense. No, I quote it every time when I quote my little paragraph. In a world of professing Christians, the true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. What is your position in Jesus? You extol and exonerate God. And you crash in on everything else that is not like God. And then I say that this is a divine absolutism. Absolutism, which must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone, not your opinion. Not what you say is right. Forget you. You can go to hell or go to Hades or wherever you want to go. I'm not concerned about what you think. I would die behind this. And a lot of people have been trying to silence me for years. You don't just come and put a bullet in my head. It's not going to stop the truth of God's word. This ministry that I'm talking to you from in this studio must look at the word of God as the highest standard that directs my life. I cannot attempt to minister to others unless I define who I am by what I believe, as I stay in this word. And so this Sandy, whatever you want to call this storm front, was God. And I want you to affirm that with me. I want you to stop talking like, oh, Sandy, look what Sandy did. And you know, they're putting plywood all up on there, and they're talking about Sandy, try to do this, Sandy, do it. No, why don't you just be real and say, God, you pissing me off here. Why don't you get real with it, huh? Everybody believes in God until your material disappears, right? I'm just being real. You Christians want to evangelize people? Why don't you evangelize them like this? Why don't you give them this kind of truth? What's the matter? Is it too difficult to tell the truth to people? Now, I don't know about some second thing that's going to happen in the country. I'm not a terrorist using the website as a cover or a front. I'm not doing that because that would be stupid. Let me just say this right out on the webcast. I had a friend of mine, Mark Harris from New York, write me. I don't know whether Mark, I guess I got to go into my other email. I don't know whether Mark wrote me back, but Mark wrote me and he asked me what I thought about what was going on my AOL mail account, and I'm going to it right now on another computer. But I told him that I've been silent about the matter, about the voting and everything. I told you the voting is a fool's game. You're a fool if you... I mean, this, the dialectic is a mess, man, because, see, it will have you voting and believing some stuff that is about the craziest stuff that you've ever heard of in your life. Give me a second. I'm just going into my AOL mail. It's kind of dark here in the studio right now. It's about 7:28 in the a.m. and I have to be at the college to see. Well, I guess you're trying to put up sympathy for Obama. Everybody that's a president is going to get hate messages, so I'm not worried about my president getting that. Hold on, let me look at this. Let me move this computer around here so I can stay close to the mic as I talk with you. Let me see if, oh, wait a minute. I got somebody else calling me here. And, no, I don't want to take that call. I won't even worry about that. I know what that is. This is more important. Let's see. Let's see. I don't see anything here. Okay. All right. Well, no, I don't think that he wrote me back. And I was curious about that to see whether he wrote me back, but he hasn't. You know, it's just like this article on AOL in the HuffPost and Black Voices. President Obama targeted by anonymous hate text messages. Well, Bush was too. Everybody that gets in that office is going to be targeted by somebody. I don't feel any. I mean, I hope the president and his family and everything is all right, because I love the man. I love anybody that's the head of my country. I don't hate. But it says that a string of vitriol-laden text messages hit voters' phones today, Tuesday night, blasting President Obama with anti-gay attacks and false claims in what appeared to be a coordinated campaign of cell phone text mail or text messages. One Virginia voter received one from the address, and then it gives the address that made the inflammatory claim, Obama supports homosexuality and its radical social agenda. Say no to Obama on November the 6th. And then it says that Mike Madden tweeted one, and then it gives a website here. Reelecting Obama puts Medicare at risk. Well, now, wait a minute. See, now, this is false advertising here. These aren't targeted anonymous hate texts. They're telling the truth. If you see, just because they say that it's a no, listen to what the things are saying and then investigate it yourself. That would be like saying, look at what Pastor John is saying. He's saying that something is going to happen in the country. No, I didn't. All depends upon how you listen to me. But if you're caught up in this idiotic fool's game of voting, and, you know, someone may say, well, come on, John, you're a teacher in the junior college district. Aren't you going to vote for certain things? I don't get into politics when I go to work. I go to work. That's what I do, is I go to work. And I wish I were making more money. You know what one of my students told me yesterday? And I couldn't believe it. It was crazy. She told me that there's a statistic that says that if you are on welfare and you have a bunch of children, that you can make up to $60,000 $60,000 a year of getting free welfare money. $50,000 to $60,000 a year in this state if you got a apartment full of kids. I said to the students, that's more than I make, much more than I ever make. And I was just knocked off my feet when I heard that. I could not believe it. I said, what? And then they have this viral video that's going around that somebody sent me of this young black girl telling all her friends to come to California because they pay you more money. And the more babies you have, the more money you can get. You can get a free EBT card with money on it. And you can have daycare for your child. And you just keep having babies. And they'll take care of them. And you can eat free, live free, get clothes free, everything free. Come to California and do that. And guess who's paying for these illegitimate? I am. People like me, old people, 68, still got to work. Can't stop working. Can't retire. What? Retirement. What? Retirement. Please. That was the American dream. That has now become an American nightmare. Well, so as we near the date, because we're about a week away from voting. As we near the date of voting, if those of you that are still connected with God in some kind of a way, in a loving, and you see him as an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent being in your life, if you have this a priori contact with the invisible, all-powerful, genetically filled because he germinates life in everything. Mars is not a dead planet, nor is the moon. It's very alive. Very alive. If you believe in the God that did that, speak to him and ask for his mercy on our country. Ask God to be aware that there are certain people on their faces before him, with tears flowing, with their Kleenex saying, "Please, God, I've sinned. My family has sinned. My neighbors have sinned. Everybody on the freeway have sinned. Everybody in the supermarket. Every school administrator. Every legislator. Every senator. Every congresswoman. All of us have sinned. Every banker. Every brokerage firm. Every airline pilot. Every passenger on an airplane in this country. Every child. All of us have sinned and rebelled against you, Lord. Please beg of him to have mercy on our country. Please beg of him to have mercy on our country." He can turn back his hand of judgment at any time if a remnant, if only a remnant beckons him. Now, there has to be something on the behalf of the person that's praying, a repentant attitude. And what I mean, turn from your sin, turn from it. Those of you that are stockpiling arms and food and gold and money, and you're going to start living like Davy Crockett back in the day. What's going to happen when you see an old black man like me walk up to your fence, hair all over my head, unshaven, unbathed? And then you say, "Do I know you?" And says, "Yeah, I was a bald head man on the website. I'm Pastor John." "Yeah, you know me. Can you give me something to eat? I'm hungry." They say, "Get your black blum, 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 blum away from here." And then they let off a shot over my head. I hope America doesn't come to that. She was a good country. She was a land where freedom was respected. She was a land whose hallmark was her holy book, the Bible. Not all of them. Not all of her. Because all of her never accepted that Bible. There's always been people in America that's rejected the Bible, religion, God, everything. There's always been that, and there will always be that group. You don't hear too many commentators talk about it, but it's still a number one selling book in America. Many families have thrown it out, have gotten rid of the principles, because they don't believe that God will bring judgment. If you were on the East Coast and saw water coming in your place, destroying everything, and some people like fools, hounding their belongings, trying to hold on to it. I have friends that live in Jersey and in New York. I haven't heard from them. I got to try to reach Miguel sometime today. Yeah, I was going to take a trip and go up a little north and spend some time with some friends of mine, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay here. Because I think that this week is going to be a very crucial week in the history of our country, maybe in the history of my state, California. I don't know. And I don't know. I've been thinking East Coast, West Coast, knock out each coast, and then we'll see what happens. And these things are coming about to crash our economy sooner than later. And I'm just hoping and praying that America still has a belief of Jehovah in them to the degree that all of us will come together. I don't care whether we're Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Hindu, Muslims, Jewish. All of us come together and say, "Oh God, help us, lest we destroy each other in this fine country." We need to fill up our stadiums where we watch those games, those football games, and everybody sing. Not to some pop singer, Madonna, one of those clowns, But let somebody get at the microphone that can sing God Bless America. You remember the words, God bless, think about 70,000 people singing it. America, what? Land that I love. Then you're beckoning God to do something. Stand beside her, what? And guide her with what? From the light, with the light from above. What is the next verse, John? From the mountains, the Appalachians of New York, to the prairie, think about Wyoming, to the oceans, the Pacific, spread before God, bless America. What? My home, sweet home. See, if you can't sing that, instead of singing these pop songs, instead of singing Usher's latest hit, instead of being concerned about who that fool Kanye West is going with, instead of listening to your senators and congressmen and all these juggernauts who doesn't have an answer for anything, you need to sing out to God with one voice. Just thought that I'd take a little time and share that information with you. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that at all. You may be asking now, where's the old man? Here he is. Where's the old man? Where's the old man? Where's the old man? Here I am.
Old man, where are you today?
Now listen.
I knew an old man.
That's me.
House
right.
That was constantly crowded with kittens.
If I don't watch it, it will
and
be.
And cuckoos and puppies.
Yeah.
And cows and five guppies.
Uh-huh.
And four score and ten worth of mittens. Where's the old man?
Right here.
Man,
telling the truth.
Where's the old man?
Are you feeling me? Old man, where are you today? Hey, I'll talk to you guys later. I think I'll let Joe and Eddie play out, okay? Enjoy. I'll talk to you later. Stay in the Word.
And ferns and persimmons and walnuts and lemons, which he gathered and put in a box. The old man, I said, the old man, he had walnuts and lemons, he did. Old man, where are you today? He picked up his staff and went out for a walk and found him a song for the singing. He was laughing and crying. He was screaming while trying to keep a small bee from stinging. Have you seen the old man?
A little bitty man.
Where are the old man? The old man. Old man, where are you today? He ran and he jumped and bounded away and climbed to the top of a tree. And nobody knows where the old man has gone. 'Cause nobody knew him.